Welcome to the Apple Matters podcast for Tuesday, May 31st, 2005.
Hi, this is Hadley Stern of Apple Matters with our first podcast, coming here from Boston, and I've got Chris Seibel joining us. How you doing, Chris?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Hadley?
Good. We're going to, in Apple Matters style, discuss a few topics, go back and forth on different opinions, and that's how we're going to cover everything Apple this week. Hopefully in future weeks we'll have more guests, so we can turn this into more of a roundtable discussion. The big thing to hit the news this week in the Apple universe was the oft-mentioned rumor of Apple on Intel. But this time it appeared to have some legitimacy. There was words coming from Intel, and then of course there were the strange statements out of Intel. I believe it was by the, was it by the director of technology?
I think it was.
Mentioning that that Apple is a good computer for the home, and that he spends an hour every weekend debugging his daughter's computer, which was kind of curious. What do you think about Apple on Intel, Chris?
I think it's not very likely to actually happen, because it's for no other reason than Steve Jobs would have to backtrack so far all the hype around the Velocity engine and the G4 and G5 chips being inherently superior. So I remain a little bit skeptical.
You know, it's interesting, though. There's a history, there's a precedent here for this, and that's really with the iPod Shuffle. I was in the audience at, I forget which Macworld it was, I think it was in New York, 2003 maybe, when Steve Jobs jokingly dismissed the whole flash player market. You know, he said, what are these flash players? You can only hold, you know, 100 songs, and it's not convenient, and et cetera, and so forth. And then, of course, lo and behold, about a year later, out comes the iPod Shuffle. So I'm not sure that just because Steve Jobs in the past has poo-pooed the idea means that it won't happen. It certainly would be, to say the very least, a huge move for Apple, much more than the Mac Mini would be. I mean, if you can imagine for a sec, all the current computer sellers, the Dells, the HPs, the E-Machines, etc., they only have one choice. Give them another choice, what happens?
Well, I'm fairly sure that the motherboard architecture and all that will be hard to overcome. I'm sure Apple will still keep it locked in even if they switch to Intel. I would imagine, I can't imagine you'll just be able to buy a copy of OS X and run it on any standard PC. I think that would probably be a nightmare. And Steve Jobs is not, you know, against the Intel chips. He used them when he was at Next for the hardware they made. But I just can't see him doing it at this time. Maybe in the future. Maybe they're talking about something to put in the iPod or something else. But I just don't see it happening. Too much bad marketing.
Yeah, that was the other interpretation of these, you know, talks, that maybe it was Intel inside some kind of tablet Mac, Intel inside some kind of future iPod, etc. So it's not necessarily the Mac. And you raise a very good point. You know, Microsoft, to their credit, has to deal with installing an operating system on a huge multitude of configurations, which is inherently complex, CD drivers, microprocessors, etc. Whereas being a closed architecture, Apple definitely has that advantage. Well, listeners out there, please, you can read Chris's excellent article, and also Jeff Graber wrote a piece this week on the Intel question. If you have your own comments, send them in. You can comment on this podcast on the website as well. And if you want to comment on an audio clip, please record it and email it to hadley@applematters.com, and we'll make sure to incorporate it into our next podcast. One of the plans that I do have for future podcasts is to invite readers to participate in this roundtable as guests, so it's your chance to give your opinion. And if you're interested in doing that, again, give me a shout at hadley@applematters.com. Let's go on to the next hot topic of the week, which is iPod-related, and which I wrote a piece on Friday, and that is Cirrus apparently in discussions with Apple about integrating a satellite feature into the iPod, which I always had mixed feelings about satellite radio until I actually was given a unit as a gift, a subscription to Sirius, and one of their pieces of hardware. The piece of hardware, incidentally, is one of the ugliest looking things ever, but the satellite radio itself is actually pretty cool, and I have two young kids, and I found myself tuning into the kids' channel that played really nice kids' music and just leaving it on. And in no way is it a replacement for a CD collection or for an iPod, but it's really just a different way of listening. And certainly it would be interesting to combine that way of listening with the iPod.
I think it would be pretty good. I'm not a big music listener, so I don't even have an iPod. But if I could get talk radio or something like that over my iPod, I might actually go and purchase one. The interesting thing is that I've been reading lately, it may be more, instead of a satellite add-on for your iPod, maybe the content's available at the iTunes Music Store to download into your iPod.
Yeah, that would certainly, if you combine that with the with Steve Jobs' mention of podcasting being included in the next version of iTunes, you can certainly imagine a ton of satellite content being pushed to podcasts. For example, on the XM side, they have, I believe XM has the Major League Baseball broadcasts. You can make all of those available to podcast listeners, although I'm not sure what the market is for listening to old games, but... You know, you're a pretty hardcore fan. Would you listen to a game the next day?
No. Not a chance.
But there's certainly some other talk radio, you know, opportunities, whether it's Howard Stern once he moves to Sirius. It would be neat to integrate that with the iTunes Music Store and make that available via podcast. You can certainly see a coming together of the different media with a podcast like this, which really... Like every other podcast is sort of like radio. It's not live, but it is audio available. And you could see some sort of strange combination. The most interesting aspect, and I proposed it in my article, and I have absolutely no idea if it's technically possible, but is this notion of streaming over satellite iTunes Music Store content. I can't imagine that it's not technically possible. So whether you have the satellite content available to the iPod or the satellite content available to the iTunes Music Store, or you have the iTunes Music Store content available to satellite, you could certainly imagine doing it that way. So you navigate on your satellite radio to a particular song you'd want to hear, and you'd hit play, and it would be streamed over your satellite receiver right to you there.
Sirius and iPod, will we see it? We'll have to wait and see. Now let's go and talk about Microsoft. You wrote a great piece on Microsoft.
You know, in some ways, with the site Apple Matters, it feels like I should sometimes have another URL, which is microsoftdoesn'tmatter.com, because we spend an awful lot of time talking about Microsoft, and it's kind of, sometimes I feel like we spend too much time. But it's kind of that, you know, 500-pound gorilla in the room that you can't ignore. And Chris, you had an excellent piece this week on Microsoft. And why don't you go over quickly what you discussed, and some of the reader comments were also excellent too.
Well, in that particular article, I tried to take a look at Microsoft and where they are now, which is honestly pretty beaten down, and tried to decide if they were going to stay that way or not. And I came to the conclusion that because of their huge cash reserves and the advantages they have when you install their operating system on your machine, that if they ever got serious about just wanting to, you know, dominate the net and dominate music and just about anything they want to dominate, sooner or later they'll be able to do it. I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know if they're too big to, you know, be flexible enough to do it anymore, but they definitely have the tools to crush everybody yet again if they wish to.
You know, I think often as we're obviously, I think it's fair to say, hardcore Apple fans, and often we think the world revolves around us in many ways, and in some ways it does. I mean, there's you know, the iPod is certainly focused in the media, and Apple is mentioned, but we have to remember that we are 5%, if that, of the user base, and there is this 95% or 90%, if you take all the Linux people out of the equation, out there that is Microsoft only. To say that Microsoft has kind of, you know, been beaten down is is, I think, in some ways a bit of an exaggeration. They do have 90% market share, period. They do have the Xbox, which is a good product and is selling, period. They do have the Windows Media format, which, for better or worse, is the format of every other non-iTunes-related company out there. And they also have, you know, some pretty cool technology. I've played with a tablet PC, and you look at it and you think, isn't this something the Mac would do? And then you have pundits such as ourselves saying, yes, but it hasn't been very successful in the marketplace, and that's why Steve Jobs doesn't do it. Well, yeah, but none of Apple stuff, really, by percentage-wise, has been very successful either. You know, Microsoft does some... They have a lot of smart people working there, and I'm not sure that saying that, you know, that they're in anything but a great position is a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, it seems, I would agree with that. It seems that lately they've just been getting so much bad press, and, you know, with people calling Longhorn Preview a joke and saying that Google is unstoppable, that people really are discounting them a little bit, and I don't think they should. It's a big company, and they do some good stuff, not as good as the Apple stuff, but still plenty of good stuff.
Yeah, your Google point is very well taken. They are definitely, in many ways, they're so out there in terms of what they do, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Google has taken a very interesting strategy, which, if you look at how Apple deals with things, is diametrically opposed. Google's strategy is this whole notion of beta strategy. Let's launch a product, Gmail. Let's call it beta. And thousands, tens of thousands, I don't know, even hundreds of thousands of people use this product, and it has beta on it. Let's launch Google News, still in beta, etc. And they incorporate user feedback into their next round, which is actually really smart. Whereas Apple, of course, is this entirely closed system. They don't release anything as beta, although for some people who installed the first version of Tiger, they may beg to differ. But it's definitely an interesting and different way of doing business that I think both Microsoft and Apple can learn from.
I think so. I really do like most of Google's stuff, since they never ask you for money. You're always going to have a good feeling towards them. Apple did release one piece of software as beta, but they managed to charge $30 for it anyway. That was OS X when it was 10.0.0.
Very good point. That was definitely a... did they charge for the public beta? I can't remember.
If I recall, I believe they managed to charge $30 for it. People bought it.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I probably was one of those suckers, too, and I still remember the first time I loaded it. It was the strangest experience coming from Classic, but now, of course, we're used to this notion of creating a user account and logging in, but just the Finder itself and the first edition was just god-awful in terms of, you know, how slow it was. Well, I think that wraps it up for this portion of Apple Matters' first podcast. If you have any feedback, please leave a comment, send me an email at hadley@applematters.com, or if you want to, holler at Chris, you can email him at chris@applematters.com. We'd love to hear your input. Again, the goal of this in the future is to have a few more people involved and have it really be a debate roundtable style. Who knows what the coming week will bring in Apple news and opinion. It's really, tomorrow could be some big announcement or maybe not, but whatever it is, Apple Matters will be there covering it and giving you the strong opinions, sometimes quirky and funny writing that you've become accustomed to. We also, as I'm sure you all noticed, recently relaunched about a little over a month ago now, and I have yet to receive any negative feedback, which is really nice to see in the relaunch. We put a lot of thought into the redesign, both from a look and feel standpoint, a content standpoint, and usability. We also did a short soft launch with some test users to make sure that everything was working. However, if you have any feedback, any comments, anything that you see is wrong with the site or that you'd like fixed, please let us know. As always, we're planning future features for content, and if you have any ideas, let us know as well. And thank you very much for listening. Chris, do you have any words of wisdom before we leave?
No, I'm just hoping for some interesting news this week.
Yep, well, That's the one fun thing about covering Apple is you can depend on something interesting pretty much week in and week.
Well, thank you very much for joining Chris and I and Apple Matters for our first podcast. Again, if you have any feedback, Hadley@applematters.com. We look forward to seeing you next Tuesday.